Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a famine for the Word as we pick up in Amos chapter 8, verse 10. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
In 763, there was an eclipse of the sun, which was about 24 years after this prophecy. However, the total eclipse was over Africa, and it would not have been a total eclipse there in Samaria. However, we do read of one day, which was a feast day, the feast of Passover, in which it turned dark at noon on a clear day. It could not have been an eclipse because Passover takes place at full moon, and it's impossible to have an eclipse on a full moon. That was the day that Jesus was crucified. You remember how it declares that darkness covered the land from the ninth hour onward? Sixth hour, there was darkness over the land. This could be a prophecy of that darkness at the time of the crucifixion of Christ. The sun to go down at noon and darken the earth in a clear day and turn the feast into mourning, the songs into lamentations, to bring up the sackcloth and all the loins. Baldness, which was a shaving of the head in grief over the dead. And behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. I believe that we are living in those days when there is a famine for the word of God. And the paradox is that there are probably never more Bibles in print in any time in the history of the world than there is now, in more versions and in more languages. The famine for the Word of God is that people would no longer be hearing the Word of God. It isn't that God isn't any longer speaking. And it doesn't mean that the Word of God isn't there. It means that people are no longer hearing the Word of God. You remember how Jesus over and over again said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." As he addressed himself to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, to each church there was that repeated exhortation. As he gave his message, then he would say, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says." But the truth is, there are many who do not have an ear to hear what God is saying. They just don't hear the Word of God. It isn't that God isn't speaking, it's just that they can't hear the Word of God. It's just a jumble of words. It just doesn't make sense. They don't have an ear to hear. God's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and God. You see, the problem is never on God's side. It isn't that God isn't speaking, it's that we're not listening. And it really isn't that God can't hear. Our lifestyles have made it inconsistent for God to respond. Now, because they weren't hearing the Word of God, because there was this famine for the Word of God, notice what the result was. "And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the Word of the Lord and shall not find it." This restlessness would ensue as they were searching, trying to find that which would satisfy them. Look at the restlessness in the world today. How that people are wandering all over the world, from sea to sea, from north to the east, wandering around the world looking for something that will satisfy. If you don't hear the word of God, if your heart isn't satisfied in God's word, you're going to find yourself just blindly searching here and there, trying to find something that will fill that void within your life. This restlessness is always the consequence of no longer hearing the voice of God or the word of God in your hearts. That void causes the restlessness. And as a result, the fair virgins and the young men shall faint for thirst. Now, he doesn't say the old people who are over the hill and the elderly and decrepit are going to faint. But the young virgins, the young men, those who are in the prime of strength, will find that thirst and faint as the result of that thirst because they don't have anything that will really sustain them and help them. The prime, those that are in their prime, cannot really exist apart from the living word of God. How much we need to hear and to heed the word of God. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, "Thy God, O Dan." Dan was the religious center for the northern part of the kingdom of Israel. There is where Jeroboam made an altar and put a calf and said, "This is the God that delivered you out of Egypt. This is the God that you worship." And the people of Samaria, swearing by that God of Dan, "Thy God, O Dan, lives, and the manor of Beersheba lives, even they shall fall and never rise again." Now in chapter 9, the final prophecy of Amos, he said, "I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, 'Smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. And he that flees of them shall not flee away, and he that escapes of them shall not be delivered.'" So this great shaking of God. And God said that though they try and flee, they're not going to escape. Though they seem to escape, they're not going to get away. Though they dig into hell, there my hand, from there my hand will take them. Though they climb up into heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them from there. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent and it will bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, there I will command the sword and it will slay them. And I will set my eyes upon them for evil and not for good." So the judgment of God is going to fall against apostate Israel. There is no escaping of it, neither in the grave, nor in heaven, nor on Carmel, nor under the sea, nor even in captivity. There will the sword of God still pursue, and they will be persecuted. And God's hand against them for evil. And the Lord God of hosts is he that touches the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein will mourn, and it will rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heavens, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Jehovah is his name. He is the one who is now declaring that judgment that he's going to bring against the apostate nation. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? Totally heathen, totally pagan. O children of Israel, saith the Lord, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Camptor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon a sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. God will spare a remnant. God will not utterly destroy, for God has yet a marvelous purpose for Jacob and for the people of Israel. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, and yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. So God declares his judgment is going to come. They're going to be sifted. They'd be sifted throughout all of the nations of the earth. And surely, as you look at the Jewish race, that did indeed happen to them. They were sifted throughout the nations, throughout the world, scattered throughout the world. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and I'll close the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. So the promise of the restoration of the Davidic kingdom, a promise of the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Now, there are those who take this scripture and interpret it as that there will not be a rebuilding actually of the temple in Jerusalem, but only of the tabernacle of David, so they will rebuild a tabernacle in Jerusalem. However, there are other scriptures that clearly declare the temple, giving its measurements, its walls, and so forth. So that the tabernacle of David is speaking of the Davidic kingdom that God will raise up again, that Davidic kingdom which is fallen. He'll raise up the ruins. I'll build it in the day as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all of the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. And now, God's future blessings, the kingdom age, something that we look forward to today. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So this promised restoration, the day will come. I wish that you could go over to Israel with us. I wish that you could see the vineyards that have been planted, the gardens that have been planted, the waste cities that have been rebuilt. Surely God has declared this restoration of the land, and as you go over, you can see these things of which the Lord spoke as he has brought the people back again into the land, as they have rebuilt the waste places, as they have planted vineyards and gardens and fields and orchards, and you can see God's word fulfilled right before your eyes there in that land. How faithful God is to his word. When God said it, you better believe it, because you can be sure that it shall indeed happen. God will not fail one word of his prophecy. There are many times people who come along proclaiming a gift of prophecy and the ability to foretell certain events. And they have accurately predicted things that did indeed happen, which does not really prove necessarily that their predictions were from God. In order that a person might indeed claim divine inspiration for his prophetic utterances, you would have to have 100% accuracy, because God doesn't make a single mistake. And the Bible testifies of itself and says, not one word of the prophecy shall fail. And up to this point, he's batting 1,000. Not one single word of prophecy has failed. If he is batting 1,000 up to this point, chances are he'll continue to bat 1,000 right on out to the end of the game. You can bank on it. You better bank on it. Let us take heed to the things which we have heard, the Bible says, lest at any time we should drift away from them. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it is, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation that God has offered to us? Now, God said concerning Israel, there's no escape. I don't care. They try and hide in hell, I'll dig them out from there. If they try to climb in heaven, I'll pull them down from there. If they try to hide in the forest at Carmel, I'll find them. If they try to hide in the bottom of the sea, I'll send the serpent to bite them. No escaping. Even if they're be carried into captivity, the sword will follow them there. There is no escaping from God. How shall we escape? There is no escape, except the one escape that God himself has provided. And that escape is in Jesus Christ. And that is the great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation? You see, God has made the only way of escape, and that is through Jesus Christ. And if you reject him, then there remains only that fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God's wrath by which he will devour his adversaries. I mean, that's just as straight as you can put it, right out of the scriptures. God has kept his word. You have every reason to believe he will go right on keeping his word and will complete that which he has started. Israel was punished. Israel was carried away captive into the nations. Israel was sifted by the nations. And yet God spared her. They will not utterly be destroyed. And in a miracle in itself, Israel remained a national identity. The Jew remained a Jew, though he had no homeland. And for 2,000 years, sifted through the nations, and still he remained a national ethnic group, identifiable ethnic group. As God said, I'm going to spare a remnant of them, and then I will bring them back into the land. And bring them out from the nations where they've been scattered. I'll plant them again in the land. And they will build the waste places. They'll plant their vineyards. And they've done it. It's there. You can see it with your eyes. God has kept his word. And God will continue to keep his word. And that remaining portion of prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled will surely be fulfilled. And that glorious day will indeed come when Jesus will come again and establish the kingdom, God's kingdom, sitting upon the throne of David. And the whole picture will then be complete. And we shall live and reign with him upon the earth. So, Prophet Amos, very interesting fellow, fig picker, herdman, and yet called of God, fulfilled his prophecy, and left for us this glorious proof of the divine origin of the Word, as we can see today that proof in the land.
Continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Obadiah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Amos 8 through 9 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and give you a beautiful week. May his hand be upon your life, and may the flame of love really begin to burn in your hearts towards God, that this will be a week in which you're really in tune, in harmony with him, and that love and commitment is restored, and it's just a glorious week of thinking of him, worshiping him, serving him, loving him. May God be pleased with you. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Through the course of the years, you, our radio listeners, have provided us with valuable feedback as to what has impacted you the most, or what has moved you spiritually in your walk with God. So it's with great pleasure that The Word for Today is pleased to offer you a collection of all-time favorites entitled Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested Bible Studies. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa over the past 40 years. They represent the very best Bible studies by Pastor Chuck Smith. Every message is dynamic and filled with rich insights as Pastor Chuck expounds upon relevant issues on a variety of topics related to the Christian faith. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order a copy of Pastor Chuck's Most Requested Bible Studies available on MP3 by calling The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.